96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 13th of April, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's a Thursday. That means it's a Culture Thursday, and I've got a studio full of guests, including a co-host, Mr. Cecil Newry. Now, we are still in April, which means we're still in NaPoWriMo. NaPoWriMo. It's poetry already. That means it's National Poetry Month, and I have with us Sonia Farmer from Pontiana Paper Press, and participants in the NaPoWriMo, that's National Poetry Writing Month Challenge, and Challenge Support Group joining us here today. If you have students, I don't know if your students, if your children have not gone back to school, maybe they could tune in to this event, today, this discussion this morning, since they home. I think it's going to be fun. Now, I don't know what to say, Mr. Newry, because you can't be a co-host today. You got to be a host today. It's not a mashup show, but Mr. Newry is a published poet. So I will use the word prolific poet. He is a stupendous poet. And this guy has not stopped taking books. Poetry books out of his bag. Yeah, are these all of the poetry books that you own, Mr. Newry?
Yeah, all these are mine.
Listen, I don't think you all understand. There is, I'm going to find a word. There is, I think, a Japanese word, right? There's no English direct English translation, but it means that you just buy books, right? Like you buy books for the love of having them, and you're not necessarily going to read them. But you like to just know that they are there. I have that disease. And Mr. Newry has, you reinfected me just now. So let me introduce our guests. In fact, I'm going to call your name. And then when I call your name, I want you to tell us who you are. And I have your bio. So if you miss anything important from the bio, I can read it myself. All right, so sitting in front of me from Pontiana Paper Press is Ms. Sonia Farmer. Good morning, Ms. Farmer.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us again on the radio. My name is Sonia. I am the founding director of Pontiana Paper Press, and I myself am also a poet.
Yes, you are. I didn't bring my dictionary with me this morning. I can use the same words over and over again.
I'm
supposed to bring my thesaurus since I have you all in the room with me. So anytime I repeat a word, you give me a synonym, something that is better, my poet friends. You're awakened today. Anyway, Sonia is prolific. She is perhaps one of the, I want to say best, but like one of the strongest contemporary poets and artists we have right now. And while we don't publicize her work the way we do with athletes and musicians, you would be surprised to learn what this young child, to me, this young girl, has created, right, from her own hands, from her own words, from her own mouth, what she has built up, a catalog of experiences and thought and expression. I'm just excited to have you all in this, because it's a Culture Thursday. Sonia's voice, to your left. Good morning, madam.
Hi, good morning. My name is Tanisia Pratt. I am a poet. I am a conceptual artist.
Awesome. And to your right, Sonia. Good morning, sir.
Hi, good morning, good morning. My name is Andrew Gomez. I am a writer, performer, and spoken word artist.
Uh-huh.
And I use poetry as a vehicle to tell my story in hopes of inspiring others to do the same.
Absolutely. And to your right?
Good morning. My name is Taran Bryce. I am a poet, freelance writer, and spoken word artist.
Awesome. Okay, so I have invited these four people to join us today to celebrate Poetry Month. We're going to celebrate Poetry Month by interrogating them to pieces. Like, poetry is a real job. They have to prove that to me. But more importantly, they have been gracious enough to bring a copy of one of their works or a work of their choice to be a part of our grand book giveaway today. We want to thank Ponciana Paper Press for supporting local writers by hosting this type of program. And we want to thank Patricia Glinton McCullis and Nico McCullis for donating these copies of Luska and other fantastic tales to us to be able to share with the general public. Now, I think this is a great day for this, right? Because yesterday, the Independence Committee launched the 50th Independence Song Competition. Mm-hmm. Now, launch date was April 12th. The deadline for submission is May 5th. That's only 3 weeks. So, dear parents.
You could write a song in 3 weeks, eh?
Mike, we're going to write a song today, Mr. Nuri. If I could.
Professional song with lyrics and
I didn't say all of that. No. I mean, no, you could do that in 3 weeks. I didn't say we could do all that today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you could do that in 3 weeks, right? But see, here's what it means. 3 weeks is not a grand amount of time. So, young people, if you are interested in entering this competition, you got to find some adults right now and you got to let them know, I want to do this and I need your help, right? Even if you're an adult, you're going to need some support. So we're going to need all y'all by them who are out there, yeah, man, I just make music, yeah, sweet thing. Sweet gal, I just make music, you know, as a producer. All of y'all, we're going to need y'all to make yourselves available to those who want to participate. And we're going to need y'all to participate as well, right? But most of all, you go online, just search Celebrate Bahamas, right? If you go to the Facebook page, the application is like at the top of the Facebook page. Go to Celebrate Bahamas, go to their Facebook page, call the Independent Secretariat, get as much details as you want. Now, there are some rules. I didn't get all the rules. Hopefully, I have the most important rules here. Songs must be of original content and not composed before April 2023, right? Which means if you are an established musician, you cannot go back into your coffers, into your collection, and grab something. You got to be fair. You got to be equitable with us new non-musicians who want to participate. The genre of the song should be gumbe, which includes subgenres such as folk, rake and scrape, and junkanoo. Ballads are accepted. Now, I'm a little concerned about this right here.
That's what gumbe means?
I don't know. I don't know if these things are actually subgenres of gumbe. I've never heard that. I've never seen anybody express that.
Do we still use the term gumbe in music? Because I remember
from
BJC,
yeah.
BJC, 1992, they changed the genre of music from gumbe to junkanoo. Because I remember taking the exam. And so it's
like the national genre of music?
Yeah, the national genre of music, official music, is Jankunu now, and it's no longer Gumbe.
I don't believe you.
No, I'm sure.
No, I believe what you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't believe they know what they was doing.
But perhaps. Any musician can call and verify that. I know Mr. Munning's always listening to the show, so he can call and mention what is the official
national
genre.
Right.
Of music. And I think it's named Jankunu.
Because
whatever Jankunu is.
Because could Jankunu be the national if it's a subgenre of something else?
But you see, Jankunu is a festival and Jankunu is a music. So it's two different things.
Well, no. Gumbe is the music of Jankunu. I mean, like, Gumbe is the drum beat of Jankunu.
Remember, Gumbe is also a festival. And there was a sound with the guitar and the pick with the beat.
What came first? The sound or the festival? And I would suggest that the drum beat, the sound came first.
I'm just amused that they have that as the genre to do.
You're amused?
Yeah, I'm amused.
I'm upset.
Amused, especially how they changed it. So I find that entertaining.
I'm upset.
You're upset?
Yes. Why very upset.
Why are you vexed?
Because it's not, I didn't say I was vexed.
So vexed and upsetting.
Broke foot. I don't have enough energy to be vexed, but I'm upset. Because while Gumbe may be the national sound, I don't think it's fair to limit the expression for the song competition to that particular sound or any of its subgenres. I think not just generally is that not on, it's not healthy. I think that for the 50th, to express your, not just your willingness, but your understanding that we have to expand our identity and how we define that, right?
I want to bait you. What would you label KB music as?
Listen, every time you say that, I think you're saying you want to debate me, and I realize you're trying to bait me.
Yeah, that's what it is.
KB music is Rake and Scrape.
Okay. And Gino D?
Gino D is Rake and Scrape. These are variations of Rake and Scrape.
And the reason why I asked that is, what is Gumbe? It's an old sound. Ronnie Butler would be Gumbe, but do we play that?
Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. I think that Gumbe is the, if this is correct, I ain't saying it's wrong.
I ain't saying.
Gumbe is the head because Gumbe is the drum beat that you hear both in Jankunu and Rake and Scrape.
Even though it's two different drums?
No, it ain't two different drums.
Two different drums?
Same drum.
No, one is goatskin and one is the percussion type drum. And
which one is being used in Jankunu?
The skin. And the percussion, but it would beat with a hand instead of the...
But isn't the other drum new, and wouldn't goatskin drum be the drum you use? Like, there was a time when goatskin, it was either goatskin or Chikchani skin. You know how rare that is.
I understand, but I see we have a caller. Perhaps that's someone who knows what we're doing.
We know what we're doing.
I know what we're doing, but I talk about the music.
Yeah, yeah. As a whole. As a country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to go to the caller or you on?
You could bait, but.
Hey,
good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
How are you?
I'm okay. Good morning to Mr. Nuri and your guest at the studio.
Can you hear?
Yeah, Aaron. Aaron. Hello?
Hi, I can hear you.
Yes, I'm off. I'm rather disappointed myself this morning to learn that we're going to be doing Gumbe for a song competition on our 50th anniversary of independence. I thought, personally, like on our 50th anniversary of independence, Silver Jubilee, we would introduce a new genre of music and let people express themselves freely, because to say that we are going to be just, the genre is going to be Gumbe is very dogmatic, very, very dogmatic. And your poets in the studio, I know they're highly offended by just this Gumbe thing because...
No, don't say that. They're good. I mean, I riling up the place.
Yeah, hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
As a creative, right, it's in the creative space, it's like a blank slate given to anybody who creates things, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're a real creative person who don't really copy things from people, you know, the inspiration, it comes from a different... They say basically it comes from God, if you ask me, because I'm a creative person, right?
Yeah.
And with the independent song thing, right? I have an independent song, right? Surely you know Gumbe, right? And I mean, like to say on our 50th anniversary, we should give Bahamians the freedom to express themselves. I'm talking about musically, you know, to bring out something that can probably attract the world to this country, because Gombe has been around a long time. As Jonkanu to me is stagnant, because the idea of Jonkanu and that this monogamous beat, it isn't really like the same. You get into a beat, you turn it upside down, you bring it from any direction, and then you understand the beauty of it. You know, we in this country, like with this, even our rake and scrape and the other, like KE beats and stuff, right? You know, that there is monogamous, is one thing. It isn't dynamic. It isn't like this, when you listen to it, like you say, when you listen to other music, like you listen to all the flavor in the music, and it's because of the 1-3-5, or not, I would say 1-3-5, but then like you're just playing these chords.
Now, call up.
I love Gombe. I love the Gombe.
Okay, watch this. I with you, you know. I with you when we talk about creating a space for the expansion. I was just saying that right before you call.
I hear you.
For the expansion of identity.
Aaron.
Hold on. I want to know when you're going to send me your song and when you're going to tell me I can talk about this new genre of music.
Well, my genre of music ain't a rake and scrape, but you know what? My genre of music, I have no songs. I have a genre of music called Tap and Scratch.
Right.
And I let you hear my music, some of my music,
yes,
in front of your place the other day, right? And you know what? You know, I mean, I personally, me as an artist, right? I mean, I wouldn't even like to say how dogmatic it is around here. When we create, it's like, oh, this ain't him. You can't say this. This ain't him. You know,
get
a life.
I got you. I got you. I got the point that you're making, right? I got to go. I got book giveaways. I got another caller on the line. I want you to know that the point was made, right? And that's what I'm talking about. I think for the 50th, we should have created a space for a more expression, right? For expanding and not for tightening up. I'm going to get to these two callers, but I need the audience to know. We've got giveaways. I need these poets to tell us more about themselves. We got we have a poet laureate in this room right now with us, Mr. Nuri.
Really?
A whole laureate.
Mm-hmm.
And he have won a gold medal and every everyone is
nice.
Gold medal.
Nice.
You think I didn't see him when we pull in the parking lot? We've got book giveaways from some of the authors with us. I given away one of Cecil Nuri's books. He didn't know it.
What was book? Or you could talk some things.
So. You like to bait, I like to fatten, frog for snake. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Still there, caller?
Going once.
Hello.
Hi, good morning, ma'am. Could you speak up for more? Hold on, I got you. Good morning, ma'am. Still there? We lost that caller. You thought I heard something, right?
I did hear
something. Anyway, okay. So, back to the song competition.
Yes.
Ballads are accepted, though. Right? Now, I include this here because songs are about music, but I think the most important part of the song is about the lyrics, right? And that's where my poets come in. And it's a bit of the tension with the caller just now about sort of stagnant forms of music. And I was going to tell him, I think that if Jonkanu is stagnant, it's stagnant because we are not creating our own Jonkanu music. We are covering other songs that are popular, and we don't have lyrics. And songs become popular when you could sing them, when the words resonate with you, and you repeat this poetry over and over again until you say, this is my song. This is what I wake up to. When I get in the car, I get to play this track. This starts my day, right? And so the song competition is extremely important. We want it to be a success, without a doubt, because it's an opportunity to define who we are. But I want to encourage the organizers of the event to always focus on making things as inclusive as possible, right? And this can be easily done. And even right now, we could change some of these rules to make this competition as accessible as possible. There are too many young people out here that are making world-class music that don't necessarily make this sort of music. So I have a suggestion, right?
Go ahead.
You don't have to change it. Let's have 3 or 4 categories. Let's have a category for pure Gombe, right? And its subgenres. So it's Gombe, folk, Ray can scrape junk anew, right? Because Pat Ramming is a folk guy. Phil Stubbs is not just rake and scrape. He's folk and scrape almost, right?
An ancient man.
An ancient man, right? And then, you see, I love to play that song, Love, Love Alone, Bette Edit, right? I like to play Don't Touch My Tomato, the J-Pod remix.
Blind Blake.
Where people are, people not Bahamian, not living here, not having had our experiences, have found a value in our music and our experiences and remixed them and reimagined them and remade them for the present and the future. And we should be creating a space for our people to do that with their own experiences. If you only limit this to Gombe, you have lost the vast majority of the creative spirit and energy that was produced by those that held and revered Gombe. Yes, it is important. I keep telling the story. I went to St. Vincent in like 2007. Went to a day camp, vacation school. The drum instructor stopped the whole session because he needed to know how Peanut and Chippy was doing. He needed me to know he had a new granddaughter because he needed me to help him come to the Bahamas to play with Chippy and Peanut one more time. He wanted me to know how special the Gombe drum beat was and how we needed to know that that is the heartbeat of your people. That is their language. That's how they used to talk. That energy cannot be wasted. We got to expand beyond our typical way of thinking. Another rule just before we go. Songs must be bipartisan. That's what the rules say. Songs must be bipartisan. Dear committee, I think what you meant to say was songs must be non-political. I think that's what you meant to say. If that's not what you meant to say, maybe you meant to say, look here, we can't tell you not to sing political songs, but if you're going to sing political songs, make them bipartisan, which means there's no prioritizing or preferencing one party over another. But if you say songs must be bipartisan, then I am going to submit only songs about politics. Because they must be bipartisan. And this is a fantastic moment. I don't want you all to think I just rowing you all, right? Because this is a fantastic moment because words have so much power and they have so many different meanings. And it all depends on who is reading when and how and where they're, not just where they are located on the page, but where they are located in this life. Dear Independence Committee, we love this song competition idea. We're going to need you to do a couple of things. Give us a little more time so we could organize the young people to get it together. Right? Maybe identify, create a list of producers and musicians who are willing to help. Post them in constituency offices so people can connect with people in their constituencies so they could get support engaging in this. Expand the categories. Have one category for pure Bahamian music, if you want to call it that. And then categories for remixes, reimagining, right? With specific criteria for how the song has to change, what elements have to be represented. This could be done. And then have a category for new genres of music, like Platy Dread. Been working on Platy Rock for a minute. My boy called in this morning to tell us about Tap and Scratch, a new, I think, a derivative of Rake and Scrape. Let's do this, man. You could do it big. Y'all have done such a wonderful job so far. Don't think of it as critique. Just think of it as us doing our part to support the vibe. Now, Mr. Nuri.
Good.
We've got giveaways.
We got giveaways. Let's start off with the giveaways and get people enjoying what we're doing today. And I appreciate your commentary on the music competition, by the way. Thanks.
Yeah, man. It's a great idea. Yeah. Let's always focus on making things inclusive.
Good. So what is our first question?
Okay, so first of all, we've got Tanisha Pratt, Taran Everett Bryce and Andrew P.W. Gomez in studio.
I like these big names. Sound like aristocrat type.
I got a question about Tanisha Pratt. I hope you all know who she is. I'm going to read a bit of her bio. She's a Bahamian poet, author, editor, and conceptual artist experimenting with film, sound, and performance. Her work reimagines the Anglo-Caribbean landscape through a feminist lens of history, culture, language, and memory. Her recent collection, Blue, explores inescapable blueness of the Caribbean. So you know the first question I have for her is...
What's conceptual?
I don't know. Can you see the plantation through the palm trees?
Oh, okay. Different question altogether. Go ahead.
Yeah. But we got a question about Tanisha Pratt. So if you have your phone or your computer in hand, start Googling. Start Googling these people. Taran Everett Bryce is a 25-year-old Bahamian blogger, indie author, freelance writer, poet, and spoken word artist. He has also graciously allowed me to follow him on Twitter. His poetic works usually explore themes of existential... But he's got these big words. Existentialism, Nuri.
Wow.
Spirituality, romance, mental health, and navigating the Black queer experience in the Bahamas. And for existentialism is like locating yourself in the world, or like always knowing where you are in the world. You know, that's where it is.
I ain't got
you. You know what Rastas call it?
What's the Rastas call it?
Overstanding. You say, you understand, Rasta? Rasta say, no, I overstand.
Okay.
That's like existentialism.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And third point.
Taran affirms that at their core, his poems are just cleverly disguised pop songs influenced by the likes of Lana Del Rey, Azealia Banks, Lady Gaga, Lorde, and of course, Beyoncé.
I know that's
their debut
right.
book, My So-Called Quarantine, became a number one new release in Caribbean and Latin American poetry on Amazon back in 2020.
Nice.
And has... amassed a 4-star rating on Goodreads. His 2021 poetry chapbook, Litmus Paper Blue, also went number one in the Caribbean and Latin American poetry while peaking at number two in new releases for LGBTQ plus poetry.
He global.
On Amazon.
He global.
Andrew P.W. Gomez is a writer, performer, and spoken word artist hailing from the island of New Providence, the Bahamas. As an advocate of self-acceptance, he uses poetry to narrate his life's journey and how he came to be. His work has been published across the Bahamas by the Pan American Health Organization and Bahamas National Trust. Andrew is also recognized by the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture as a laureate in 2017 and 2018.
Look at that.
The poet laureate. Respectively, in a span of 5 years, his name is Andrew, but this boy has become a rising star in the poetry community, both locally and in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. So, in short, these are established poets, established writers who have made a mark locally and internationally.
Right.
Someone to brag about and say, well, we have talented Bahamians.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And a new generation, a new class of established writers. Right? Because we, y'all are sitting on the shoulders of Asha Lalawatu Raming. Mr. Nuri, I don't know, take a picture of all of those books you stack up over there. This is a 25, 35 high pile, two piles of local books owned by Mr. Nuri. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pleasure to have y'all in studio. On culture, I usually talk about music. I usually focus on genres like Gombe, old school rake and scrape, junkanoo, connecting generations of music and musicians and Bahamians, right, through culture. I don't normally talk about the literary arts, but I'm so glad to have you all today. So to the listening audience, the book giveaways are about to begin.
Let's start that.
The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. For people not in New Providence, but in the Bahamas, new number to call, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720. We will also have giveaways for our texters as well. So, the first question to the audience to win a prize.
Okay.
Which famous Bahamian is James Weldon Johnson related to?
Okay. But James Weldon Johnson is famous by himself.
Yes. He's famous by himself. His mummy born in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Yes.
So you want to know who he is related to?
Yeah, he's famous. He's related to an extremely famous.
Okay.
I don't know if more extremely famous Bahamian.
Okay. Text or call in?
This is a call in.
Okay. First person to call in and give the answer to this.
Which famous Bahamian is James Weldon Johnson related to?
And I see all the poets excited because they know the answer.
No?
Raise your hand if you know the answer.
No?
You can't say it. Just raise your hand.
No. Well, you're just young. Just, okay. Just young.
So I got a question. While we wait for a caller to call in to answer the first question of the day, which famous Bahamian is James Weldon Johnson related to? The question for my panelists today is, tell us about the National Poetry Writers Month Challenge. What is it, and why do I need a support group to be part of it?
Sure. Thanks, Erin. This is Sonia speaking from Poinciana Paper Press. So the National Poetry Writing Month Challenge, which is called NAPORIMO for short, is something that happens every year around the world during the month of April, because April is National Poetry Writing Month.
Mm-hmm.
And what the challenge is to write one poem a day for 30 days, for every day through the month of April.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, every poet works differently. Some of us can show up for our practice every day, and sometimes it's a little harder to do that. Sometimes we can only show up for our practice once a year, and the rest of the year just do a lot of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. I'm some. And and then pull it all out. So we have a support group on WhatsApp. This is something that I decided to start through Poinciana Paper Press, because we are a center for writing, publishing, and book arts, and we want to support writers and be a hub for writing as part of what we do at the press. So we met on April 1st at the press. We had a little free generative writing session. I had a couple of prompts. We all came up with some prompts we would like to see for the month. And then I just opened a WhatsApp group. And it's grown to, I think the latest number is 47 members, which
47
is really exciting.
Members.
Yeah. Not everyone shares every day, and that's okay. It's a non-pressure group. It's a support group. It's not like a Duolingo group. We're not out here trying to make you force you to write a poem every day. What we do is in the morning, sometime between 7 to 9 a.m., I post a prompt. Sometimes it's one word. Sometimes it's maybe a sentence that could be a title. Sometimes it's a form challenge. So, for example, just this past week, we had write a haiku in the haiku form about an island. We had the words crux one day, and another word we had transform. And then sometimes we have a title challenge. So today, it's a day in the life of blank. So you can do whatever you want. You can say a day in the life of the parking around the corner, day in the life of my gray hair, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just use that group to share the prompts, and then also everyone shares the poems that they wrote that day if they feel like it. There's no pressure.
All right. So we got a caller on the line, and then I'll
hash it out, because I just want to envision it. This is a WhatsApp group with 45 members who are being prompted to write poetry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Right? So all the three poets here joining me are all in the group. And they can tell you if they like it or not. I mean, they might try, you know, no pressure because I'm right in front of you, but they are taking part. So I know it is inspiring.
If you like gossip, if you're in WhatsApp groups because you like gossip, right? This is the group for you. Why? Because you're not gossiping about people's lives. You get to share in the creation of poetry, right? You get to interact with people. Let's go to the caller. Hopefully we're ready for our next question. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Are you calling to answer the question?
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling James Weldon Johnson. He's the one that wrote the song Lift Every Voice and Sing, which the Black America adopted as their national anthem.
Yes.
Yes. And who is he related to?
I'm not too sure. I know the Johnsons from Eleuther. That's where he descended from.
I got you. The question was, which other famous Bahamian is he related to? But here's what we're going to do, caller. I am going to tell you to give your name to the producer.
You're going to give him a prize?
I'm going to give him a prize. You know why?
Why?
Because this boy, he let us know.
That
he lift every voice and sing.
Yes, that would
have
been the
question.
This
is what he's known for. This is what I like. You're talking about James Weldon Johnson. Let me remind you all, this is what the boy famous
yes,
for.
Yes, I know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sir, give your name to the producer. And your number, so that we can connect with you, so you'll know how to pick up your prize from the Guardian. Now, dear listeners, texters, you see how easy it was to win a prize?
I'm going
to
tease the port again with that clue. Do you know who would the answer is still? No? No? Okay, good. No problem. I just feel smart.
So, okay, the question the question is...
This is a generational gap.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I'm a student of history, so that's why I know. And it's, right. It's a history question, by the way, for the listening audience.
What's Trina related to? I know.
Right.
Go on.
But then also, what are we taught in our history classes? Right. I don't remember covering this one.
Right. So. Oh, right. And that's a part of why I asked the question. In fact, when I do the show, right, I prepare the show from the perspective of a student, maybe high school or college, who has to prepare homework and has a limited amount of time to do it. Right? So I go on to the internets, the interwebs, the social medias, the Googles, and I see what I could find. We got another caller coming in.
Oh.
Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing great. I would say that Mr. Johnson is related to a very famous Bohemian called Timothy Gibson.
Listen how close you are.
Close.
You're looking at my question, but that's not the correct answer.
I mean, you're still far, but you're close.
You're far, far, but you're close.
I'm close.
Yes.
You almost get the building. So let's go with that. But call back. If you know close.
You could call back. Producer, we can let him call back and try again. Okay, we got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning. Is it? Stephen Dillett, they're both his brothers.
Ring.
Yes,
congratulations.
Ma'am. Stephen Dillett. So,
how are they related, Aaron? So go ahead.
Because his mummy is a Dillett. James Weldon Johnson, mummy is a Dillett.
But how are you related to Stephen Dillett?
That's his grandfather.
Yes, that's his grandfather.
Yes, ma'am. And she got it. Sorry, ma'am. I was supposed to let you on. He bade me.
Yeah,
you the smart one.
Yes.
And congratulations again, ma'am. Just leave your name with the producer, and we'll get that prize. We'll be waiting for you at the Guardian concierge desk there.
All right. The
only thing is I live in Freeport.
That's okay, ma'am.
Do you have any family members here who can claim this prize for you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Leave their number.
I'm glad to get into the show because I'm interested in poetry, and I hear all of those poets. Trying to figure out what makes you a poet. Is it a cause? Or is it just the way you feel? Because I've written poets over the years. I have a compilation, but it's like it's hard to find people to help you get these things published.
Nice.
It's like I'm in Freeport and I've been asking around for a long time. I mean, I probably wasn't like adamant in it, but I'm writing, and it's like when you ask the question, everybody has this blank look on their face. It's like, okay, you can go to Amazon and you can do it yourself, but I need to know information. Where do I go?
So let us help you with
information?
That.
Because you just don't want to put your stuff out there, and you don't understand what it is that you're doing. And, you know, it's like, it's a hard, you like writing, you like to be, because I am enjoying the show, just to know that, you know, they are poets. People will tell me, well, you're a poet, but I don't see it. Because I think it's something that you go somewhere and you qualify yourself, and, you know, it's not just a selfish acclaimed title, but, you know, what makes you that? I know it's your creative ability. And even the caller would call first talk about this tapping thing.
I think it's
like, okay, if you're a Bohemian, we have, that is what is wrong with, we don't have a culture and we're always trying to put in different cultures. It doesn't, if the committee say, okay, I want this type, we have to respect that.
Okay.
Even though we can produce outside of that, it doesn't stop us.
So let me do this, caller. First of all, leave the contact of who want to claim the gift for you with the producer.
Or your number, and I'll get to you.
Yes, and then we'll have the panelists say how they got published. right? Okay. And also, what makes a poet a poet? Mm-hmm. To be called a poet, right? Yeah. So we'll answer that. But leave your name and your number with the producer, okay?
Okay.
Okay, yes. Any one of you. Restart.
So when did you realize you were a poet?
When did I realize I was a poet? That's very interesting because I had started writing poetry in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
But I never, like the caller, I thought that being a poet meant that I needed to go to school or be qualified or to be making a living off of it, sort of like Maya Angelou. And then when I graduated high school and I began going to open mics and working on the craft of spoken word and understanding the culture there where you didn't need to have a book to call yourself a poet. There was a culture of writing poetry and orally speaking it and sort of having that poetry through memory, through audio. So I think during that stage of being a spoken word artist, I learned that you don't need a book to be a poet. You just need to be someone who claims that title and is actively working on that title. And if you're not actively working on that title, that's also okay too. I've learned that poetry is more of, being a poet is more of a, it's more of a lifestyle. It's the way that you look at the world. It's the way that you feel through the world. You observe the world and you tell stories about the world.
You mentioned the word spoken word poet. Mm-hmm. And few people know what that means. I just want you to explain that. So the caller mm-hmm. can perhaps use that venue mm-hmm. to do her poetry.
Mm-hmm. So spoken word is, plainly put, it's just speaking your poetry out loud. People would think that it has to follow a certain rhythm. It doesn't. It can be any free form way in which you write poetry and you relay it. So that's what spoken word technically is. And I would say that the current culture of spoken word is definitely going on stage and performing, whether you want to be as theatrical or not.
Shout out, let me take a moment to shout out Arthur C. Moore. Huh? Arthur C.
Yes.
Moore, spoken word poet.
I know Arthur C. Moore.
And like a lot of the names we're going to call today, people will perceive them as bougie academic scholarly poets, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't achieve that. Mm-hmm. Arthur is a boy who say, look here, I am mm-hmm. a poet and I know it. And he started writing and cataloging and then took on the spoken word scene. And then mm-hmm. good morning to D'Angelo Wims, one of the most established yeah. spoken word artists.
Mm-hmm.
Linda for sure. Pierre.
Lynn Pierre.
Yeah.
So a little history about me coming up into spoken word. I performed alongside and worked with Lynn Pierre and D'Angelo. I met Arthur C. Moore at the Golden Club. And initially when we had started hosting Speak 242, Arthur C. Moore would record. So he has documented mm-hmm. footage on his YouTube of those times at Golden Club where we all used to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow. Golden Club. Wow. Okay. I
want to ask Taran a question. And the reason why I selected you instead of going to Andrew, because I heard that you published, right? What did you do before you get published? Because I know the lady in Grand Bahama wants to get published. And I want to know, give her an alternative yeah. in the meanwhile. What can she do as a poet? So what did you do before you got published?
My experience with publishing is different.
Yeah, put it a little closer. Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
Yeah, my experience with publishing is a little different. I am an indie author, so when I created my book, my debut book, my so-called quarantine back in 2020, the year of the pandemic, it was really like a impromptu kind of thing. So I started putting the book digitally on my website, my blog, introvertedinsight.com. After a while, I realized that I wanted physical copies of the book. So I did some research online and tried to figure out what is the best way to go about self-publishing. And so I signed up with Kindle Direct Publishing, which is a part of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I signed up. What you really need is a business license. So they're going to ask you for a business license number. Luckily, I had one at the time. So that's what I used to sign up for the program. It's pretty straightforward. You know, you get royalties, of course. They take a percentage out of whatever you make. But they also assist with the actual printing of the book and delivering them to you. You could do something known as ordering author copies, which they will give. They will sell you the book. Well, print the book for you at like a very fair rate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's how I go about publishing my books.
Are there any local publishing options?
Yeah, I have a lot to comment on. There are local publishing options, but I also wanted to hear a little bit from Andrew before we got into that section, because I did want to make sure we heard from everybody about like what they think makes them a poet and their practice, because he also has a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to know how.
And that we're still engaging this lady's
sort of question. Yeah, because I have a lot of advice for
her. Because, you know, like, when do you know you're a poet? I performed at an event and people loved, like, the first poem I ever performed, people loved it. And I want to take that piece of paper and tear that up and throw that away. And it wasn't until later writing and performance that I really considered that I could call myself a poet. But Andrew, let's go.
All right. For me, when did I find out I was a poet? You know, it's interesting because I started off doing, like, music, hip-hop, rapping. And in me writing and me coming from high school and into the college scene, I realized that I had to change my content to be more applicable to my current surroundings. And people were talking about more social ills, more things of substance, just for lack of better words. And in that space is where I met Tanisha, where I met D'Angelo Wims and the other poets who are on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And just being in that environment made me more comfortable to adapt and change course from the braggadocio rap to the self-expression. How am I doing? What am I giving my audience so that they know me better?
Mm-hmm.
And just being in that space, I felt like, okay, these are poets, and I'm around poets, and I'm doing the work that poets do. I say, okay, I'm a poet.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. As far as my book, I'm self-published as well, independently published, like Tehran. I went online, looked at all available options locally and online, and I chose the one that was best for me economically, because, you know, we don't have grants just being issued all over the place. So I just did what was best for me. I used Lulu Publishing, which was recommended by Tanisha, as well as another local artist, Yasmin Glinton Poidio. So shout out to them for that. But yeah, that's my little pitch on how I became a poet.
All right, we got to throw another giveaway question out there, and then we're going to get to this subject. I agree with you guys. I mean, the caller said, this is, I think, the most important part. We think we have a lot of athletes, Muri?
We have a lot of poets here.
We've got
a lot of writers.
We have a lot of poets.
A ton of poets. So much so that the Ministry of Tourism, this is my little plug now, the Ministry of Tourism needs to get on board to inculcate the literary and poetry scene as a part of the tourism product. They are established.
They're snapping inside you.
Yeah, Mike. Okay, so let's go to the next question. I have another history question, but let's do something lighter.
Look, I love history.
Okay, so we're gonna put two questions out at the same time.
Yes.
The first question is for the callers. The second question is for the texters.
Okay.
I think.
Okay, no problem.
All right. So the question for the caller: what famous Bahamian is Timothy Gibson related to? And James Weldon Johnson is not the answer. I can just tell you all right now. James Weldon Johnson is not the answer that I am looking for. What famous Bahamian? Now, do you all know who Timothy Gibson is? Because somebody can call in and give me that answer.
Yeah.
Timothy Gibson.
Everybody's sending yours. Nice.
I know you all know. I was talking to the audience. Timothy Gibson is the author of the national anthem. He wrote March on Bahamaland. He wrote it and composed it, right? Which famous Bahamian is he related to? And everybody should be picturing it in their mind right now. The prize for this question is a copy of Luska and Other Fantastic Tales by Patricia Clinton McCullitz. Now,
second question for the texters.
Somebody say me. My mommy tell me he's our cousin. You, my friend, are famous, but I don't even know your name, so I can't give you the prize. Don't text me your name because that ain't the right answer. Which famous Bahamian is Timothy Gibson related to?
Okay, we have that question.
Now, for the texters, there are 15 types of poems.
Wow.
There are 15 globally, universally, like even in space.
Okay.
15 recognized types of poems.
Going to Google.
I'm calling for three people. We got three potential winners via text for this question. I just need you to give me three types of poems. Now, you cannot repeat. So if you repeat something that the first person said me, then you are incorrect.
Okay. That's a texter, sir. This is a texter.
Yeah. Is that a good text question?
Yes.
Huh?
That's an easy question.
Because you're a poet, man. This ain't for you. You are technically, for these few minutes, a part of the Guardian family, and you cannot participate in this competition in that way. Okay. So let's go.
So how are we going to do this? Because we are pressed for time, and I want her to answer the question, but then I'm coming back after the news. So what we're going to do is do our third question and then have her come back and then have her speak for a good 5 minutes.
Right. Absolutely. But we already got a winner.
We didn't get a winner?
For the text winner.
And plus we have a caller too?
Yeah, and we have a caller too.
Okay. Let's that.
So let's go.
I don't want to interrupt.
Right, when we come back from the break, we engage that question about publishing options locally. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. Last caller of the day. You're calling to answer the question?
Oh, no, I apologize. I'm calling. I apologize. Sorry.
No, you have a poem? Give us a poem. She gone. I don't know who she was calling. I don't know who she was calling, but I know you had a poem in you, ma'am. Okay, so we have got two responses by text for our question. There are 15 types of poems. I only need three texts to give me three. The first person got it correct, and they have sonnet, limerick, and haiku.
Mm.
So I'm going to take down your number. The second person has sonnet, which is a repeat. So I'm not going to call off the other ones. You have an opportunity to text back in. So we already have one winner down. In the second hour, we've got two winners left. 15 types of poems. Name three. And I need you to know that sonnet, haiku, and limerick are no longer on the list. Got to find the other ones. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock on this April Poetry Writers Month show with Sonia Farmer, Tanisha Pratt, Andrew Gomez, and Taran Bryce. They're going to stick with us for the second hour, so stay tuned for Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry. We'll be right back.